Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. Time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We are looking at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and why they're written in that order, that we don't understand them just as a group, but we understand them beginning with Matthew. And once we understand Matthew, we can go on to Mark, just like first, second, and third grade. They're basically talking about the same thing, aren't they, Andy? Same subjects in all of them,
yes.
Really. Now, some subjects are going to be added. Some won't be talked about as much, like repentance is not even mentioned.
In the book of John.
It's not mentioned in the book of John. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
But it's the first thing that's said in Matthew. Change your mind. There's some really...
That is a major difference.
I tell you what.
First thing said, not said at all.
There are some interesting things in the Bible. It is the most fascinating book I have ever read, and I'm still a student of it. You know, maybe I'm not that bright, but it's taken me 54 years to do that, and I'm still not done. I'm still fascinated. We are in John 17, 20 through 26.
Did you want to introduce yourself today?
No.
Okay. I'll go right ahead.
Do you want to introduce me?
Sure. This is Gil Larson, and he's from Red Bluff, California. And my name's Andy Atwell, and I'm from Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, I couldn't introduce you.
No.
Maybe I wanted
to. Okay.
Maybe
let me do it again. This is Gil Larson from Red Bluff, California, and...
And this is my very good friend that I've known since 1980, and he is... He's from California like I am, but he's got this funny accent. So I think he's actually an illegal alien from the East Coast.
From North Carolina, yeah.
You can't
let him in.
No.
Okay. Verse 20 of chapter 17 of John. And not for these only do I ask, but for them also that believe unto me through their word, that all be one, even as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also be in us, that the world believe that thou didst send me, and I've given them the glory which thou hast given me, and they be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world know that thou didst send me, and loves them, even thou loves me. Father, what thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, because thou lovest them before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world also knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. And I made known to them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me be in them, and I in them.
That is so much, Andy.
That is a wave of a lot of stuff being said there.
That is like, you know what? I'd like to even go back to the context before that we read yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the last time you heard this podcast. And it says, now I come into you. I'm reading just a little above it, like in verse 13. And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your image. So Jesus gives us God's image, that we have God's heart and mind. And the world hated them because they are not of the world. They love their own, but we're going to be unusual. We might type something into AI, and it's not going to come out right, because AI is not going to understand us, Andy. I've had that happen, actually, We don't think like people in the world. They might have other words that follow in their conversations, but we're certainly not like it. Even as I'm not of the world, I ask not that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them out of the evil one. In other words, where Satan doesn't have, we're not penned in by Satan to do his will. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is saying about us, we're not of the world like he's not of the world. Make them holy in your truth. Your word is truth. So it takes the word of God for us to change and to become purified. Holy means without spot or blemish, without impurities. So like if a person's sick, you can be impure because of bacterial infection or a viral infection can make you sick. And then when you're cured of that disease, you become, you know, where your body would become holy. Well, think of your mind or your motives or whatever. They're one way before you are saved out of that, and they become totally different, where instead, before this, you don't care anything about anybody else. But then all of a sudden, you become like the Lord who died for all. He would that all would be saved. Not one would perish, Andy. You know, we would. Anybody does something wrong to us, we get mad at them. We don't want them to make it. You know, the natural man doesn't.
Right.
And but yet the Lord was, he would say, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, wouldn't he?
That's what he did say.
That's not our nature, is it? And so this is being said before this one that Andy, and then we're going to get into that next. Now, this is, there's a whole lot going on in these scriptures right here. I also sent them into the world. So Jesus turned around and sent the 12 for them. I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. And not for these only do I ask, but for them also that believe.
He sent 11.
By this time.
Yes.
Yeah, but there were 12 back at the other time.
Oh, in the original time
before the fall.
Yes, he did. He sent out 12 there. Yes.
Yeah, but 11 made it. Now, just think, remember, we're close to Passover.
Right.
And on this Passover, this is where Jesus dies. This is the big Passover. All the other Passovers were not the Passover. This is the Passover. This is the one and only. I look like I'm excited about saying this, don't I? I'm getting a little bit animated here. This is the Passover. This is where God passes over our debts, all of our debts, all of our mistakes, all of our sin, and missing the mark. This is where the Lord passes over him, and it's coming up, and it doesn't happen until he takes our place on the cross and dies in our place. There's a lot going on in this context.
And what you just said, and for them, I sanctify myself, meaning on the cross, that they may also be sanctified in the truth surrounding all of that.
And he does all this so the family can be one, so all can come into him, into God, and we be him being God, and us being him, and him being God. Let me go back and look at this. Oh, and also to perfect us, to mature us, till we come to the fullness of the image of Christ.
Now, you know, if somebody really actually read this and tried to follow it through, I'm going to read this again. I'll read it small, slow, and comment on it as I go.
Okay.
And not for these only do I ask, for them that also believe unto me through their word, that all be one, even as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also be in us. Now, that's talking about some locations there.
So really, on the very outside, you on a circle, it's put the Father, that all might be in us. And Jesus is in the Father, so we'll put Jesus inside that circle. And then
he put us inside Jesus.
Yeah, and then if that the key is for us to be in that.
Yes, that's what that picture is.
In Jesus and in the Father.
That the world believe that thou didst send me, and I have given them the glory which thou didst send me. Now we're inside of Jesus with the glory in us. And I have given them the glory which you have gave me. Okay. And that they be one. So this glory causes us to be one.
Every race from all over the world, no division,
can be one. And even as Jesus said, him and the Father were one. And then he goes, I in them and thou in me, that they be perfected into one.
Now, I drew some pictures. I drew a circle within a circle, within a circle, within a circle, within a circle. And I think I have Jesus in the very center.
He says, I and them.
And they is the next circle outside. And yet that we're in the Father and in Jesus, and he is submitted
he
unto
is
the
drawing
Father.
All sorts of pictures about how involved. You know, people say, oh, I'm really involved in God. No, this is involved in God.
I see that Jesus is in us, and also we're in him.
Yes.
And then there's different combinations of him and God even around us, Andy.
This is a whole lot of things.
So I decided to just draw these circles within a circle, within a circle, within a circle.
And go.
And I thought I'd let it just say what it says and just see what the relationships are.
Well, it's like it surrounds you.
Yeah.
In a lot of different angles.
It surrounds us, but is in us.
Surrounds us and in us.
Yeah. And it seems to be several different layers around us.
Yes.
What?
This is not a quick read.
Yeah. I get three layers around us and God in us.
Yes.
What?
That the world know that thou didst send me and love them even as thou loves me. Father, what thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also come be with me, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, because thou lovest me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world also knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me, and I made known to them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me be in them, and I in them. So now we got some love in us here too.
And now we know the Father's name, which is Yahweh. And Jesus' name is Yahweh is salvation.
That was just giant right there.
Yeah. That was a lot. That just stopped us. Actually, those two contexts, the one before and this one too, both pretty much all of John 17. it was an eye-opener. It was something that, Selah.
To take a rest after this and let it rest with you. Don't try to do, just let it be there a minute.
Digest it.
Digestion.
Don't let it just pass through. There's some things you need to reflect back on it. And then there's another word that's used with Selah. What is that?
Hagion.
Hagion.
And that's said one time.
Yeah.
Hagion Selah.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
It's in the Psalms. It says that.
Yeah.
And it didn't say that. It just said that Hagion Selah once. It said Selah a few times, like a pause or a reflection. But that's where that was used most of the time.
Think on these things, but stop, pause right there. Don't just
don't read try to figure
it.
Them out.
Yeah,
just let it be there.
Yeah, let it settle, and maybe it goes into a deeper place where it digests differently. You know, we don't know where all the minerals and all these things that we ingest where they go, like vitamin C or calcium or whatever, but there are some things that maybe take a bit longer to digest that are very important.
And people can get in their minds that everything has to do with their mind. And God is so different. He says he's going to give you a peace that surpasses what you can understand. Really, that means what's not even involved there. Your understanding is just not even in there. And what is that? And there's going to be joy that's unspeakable. You can't articulate it. You can't form a word over it. Your mind is not involved. So these are bigger things than our thinking can be. Our mind or our soul doesn't get to be the one that runs the place, meaning us. It has to do with the Holy Spirit of God and things way bigger than us.
I'd like to say something. I've even heard it within our people that we've known and so on over the years. And there used to be a song sung in Christendom, and it's about spring up, O well, within my soul. And it goes so against scriptures because it talks about God sends us the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and it'll be like a river. The Holy Spirit will be like a river, and it flows out of the very heart of man. And to be soulish is the same as being demonic. I'd be careful of relating some spiritual things to our soul. Our soul should be controlled by the Holy Spirit, but not the Holy Spirit, or not our souls controlling anything.
Well, like it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait.
And we are to give up our life. Now, yes. Soul, tsuke, is translated probably about half the time as life and sometimes as soul.
Right, and you don't know unless you look at it.
No, and you don't want your life, your soul running things. You don't want your soul to be in control because you gave up your life. You're not to take it back. It goes on and talks about that in Hebrews chapter 6.
Well, when you said you gave up your life, people heard life. Really, the Bible says you gave up your psuche, which is translated life or soul. So right. We gave up our own.
You didn't die, but you did die. You died to you being the boss, and you gave the pilot seat over to the Holy Spirit, and you're not to take that pilot seat back. I don't know of another way to put that.
I don't either.
So we died. We realized that we were in a decline. Our airplane was going down. It was going to hit the ground and for eternal loss and eternity without God. So we gave the controls over when we died. We gave our soul over. We gave up our life, and we're not to take it back. And Hebrews 6, for it's impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, that if they should fall away to renew repentance. You cannot start all over again. Jesus will not die twice. He died once. And it's really simple. So this well is within our heart. He sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that's where that well of water that springs up, and it comes from the heart of man, not our soul. We gave our soul over. It's not to be in control anymore. Our soulish thoughts, which can be controlled by demons, it says. It's sensual, demonic. It can be. It can tend that way. So it needs to be under control of the Holy Spirit. Our souls do.
And that scripture that has sensual and demonic, it has the soul in the Bible sitting in between those two words.
Soulish.
Soulish.
Sensual,
demonic.
Yeah.
See, it's sitting right in that group there. So this song that people came up with about
spring up, O well.
Well, well, within my soul is not scriptural at all. People like to sing it because it's sung a lot, but it's not correct. And I've actually had people get really angry at me over telling them this because they don't like that they have to change how they sing the song. I mean, to talk about something petty. It's just giving away the truth because they like a tune.
Well, all these things that God has given us, all these pictorials God has given us, and there's a city in the scriptures that there's water that comes out from God's throne, and it comes out of the house, and it ends up coming out of the house of God, but it comes from where the ark is, Ark of the Covenant, and it comes out, and then it goes under the threshold of the door, and it's like ankle deep at one point, then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep, and then you can swim across it, this river of water of life, but it originates from the very throne, the center of God, And I think it's talking about the time of the thousand-year reign when Jesus is going to be on the earth. And anybody that touches that water will be healed. Anybody that touches it comes from the throne. He came to have his throne in our heart. Give me your heart, my son. He gets to the heart of it. He wants to be in control at the heart level, at the very center. There are some places where it says at first, and the Greek word is actually proton, which is interesting. God wants to be the center of our life. You know, proton and neutron, that's what the electrons revolve around, and they're the center, the hub. First also means proton, the center. Center of activity, center of gravity, center.
The center of your life.
Center of your life. 18, 1 through 11. Oh, it was a 1 through 11, Andy.
There we are. These words Jesus spoke and went out with his disciples over the brook of the cedars, where was a garden unto which he himself went in and his disciples. Now Judas, who delivered him up, also knew the place because Jesus often resorted there with his disciples.
So now we're getting close to where Jesus dies. We're getting really close, aren't we?
Yeah.
And this is in the book of John. No repentance is found here. We're getting into the last of the Gospels, and then we're going to go into a book that is all New Testament. So this is getting close to Jesus dying and the beginning of the New Testament.
Judas, therefore, having received the band of soldiers and officers from the chief priest and from the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things coming upon him, went forth and says to them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he," and Judas also, who delivered him up, was standing with them. When therefore he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground.
Now, I'm going to stop you here, Andy. Did you know something about that word "he" in both instances?
It's not in there. It's in italics.
I wonder, Pannon was by himself. We're in a group of a number of people, and we start like, why did you put that in there? Because it's not in the Greek. "I am he." Now, how about if it reads "I am"? Does it give it more punch to it if we just say it exactly what's in the Greek? I'll bet you Ivan Panin would agree with us if we challenged him on it.
Well, he implied that he was just saying what he said, but he didn't put it the pure.
He's trying to be grammatically, because the guy was... Yep. He was brilliant. He was offered presidency, like at Harvard and so on, and he might have some leanings about being grammatically correct here, but it's not in the Greek. How about reading it in start with verse 5 and get that "he" out of there.
All right. They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He says to them, "I am." And Judas also, who delivered him up, was standing with them. When therefore he said to them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground.
Now, would you fall to the ground if somebody says, "I am he"? Or would you fall to the ground when somebody says, "I am"? I think it makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
They did fall to the ground.
There was a lot of power there.
Yeah. Does this sound very similar to back in Exodus? You know, the bush?
"I am who I am."
He didn't say, "I am he." He just said, "I am." And then he said it twice, "I am who I am," and doubled just like here.
When you know, if the "I ams" Jesus called, in the book of John, he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection for the dead." Well, here's two additional "I ams" that we need to put on that list.
Number 20 and 21.
Oh, there we go.
Since Matthew. Yep. This is number 20 and 20.
And I don't know how many times he says it in the book of John.
The second time he says it, when they fall backwards, is 3 times 7. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah.
Then they fall. Ego, I am me in Greek. Ego, I am me. Now, God can say ego. We should not. When people say ego, it's pride and it's evil. God can say it because he is.
He is.
Self-existent ego, I am me, the self-existent life-giver.
Self-existent one.
Self-existent life-giver. That's what he is really saying. Sorry for interrupting.
No. Therefore, he asked them, whom you seek? And they said, Jesus, a Nazarene. Jesus answered, I told you that I am. Three.
Yeah.
If therefore you seek me, let these go, that the word be fulfilled, which he said, of those whom thou hast given me, I lost not one. Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's bondman and cut off his right ear. Now the bondman's name was Malchus. Jesus therefore said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?
We already talked about everything there we wanted to talk about, didn't we? I've got a note in here. He says, I am three times, but I don't.
Didn't you see the last one?
I don't see the, where's the last one?
I told you that I am.
What verse?
Verse 8.
I got that. That's how all I've got is 20 and 21.
Well, there, verse 5 is there. Verse 6 is there. Verse 8 is there.
Oh, you're right. I have a note for 22. And that last one is 2 times 11. It's the 22nd. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it was in there. I didn't notice the third time.
It's three times.
Today, I never did see the third one, actually.
I did, but I questioned it because my 22 is not right there because I
Panis was repeatable. He said, I am he the third time.
Yeah. Yes, and I've got it marked out three times.
Okay, good.
Okay, next context, 12 through 14, unless you got something you wanted to bring up.
The band, therefore, and the colonel and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he that gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man die for the people.
And he said the truth. It was. You didn't want to be the one that did it.
Right.
Really? You wanted to wash your hands of that, and he had to, but would you want to do it? No, thank you. And Satan, if he would have known what he did, he would not have killed the Lord of glory. It says those words someplace. I can't remember exactly where it is, but if he would have known that it was to his doom, it was to Satan's doom and destruction.
He signed his death warrant.
He signed his death warrant. He's going to be in prison. He's not yet in prison. He was set free. You know how prisoners are that in such and such a date you show up to prison? He was given 2,000 years to roam around for other purposes, nefarious purposes. But then he's going to show up to prison, and he's going to be imprisoned 1,000 years, released for a very short period to lead this last war that'll never happen.
I didn't ever think before he had that free 2,000 years to wander. I never thought of it like that.
That happens in our legal system.
Huh.
You better enjoy this, Satan, because you're going to be bound 1,000 years. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.